We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and run outside, with the proper social distancing, of course, has been a great outlet. So if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility, and their proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business, because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Despite the horror of the pandemic and a continued climb in these numbers, some things are getting back to normal. I just saw on GetUp the question being asked, who benefited most in the NBA from the layoff? An impossible question to answer from any of our people who aren't scientists. But they will try to answer it. Why? Because it's disguised as rest versus rust. We've finally got some sports topics making their way into the arena. The person who's not making his way into the arena right now is Stugatz. He got a call on the way in. He was told that someone in his circle has tested positive, so he is headed home. A lot of people are testing positive. Derek Jones Jr. has tested positive. Aaron Donald has tested positive. Four Sacramento Kings have tested positive. Malcolm Brogdon has tested positive. And so Mike Ryan is just convinced at this point that we all have it. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Do we all have it? The thing that is unique here, though, is for all of Stugatz's general malfeasance, for all of his laziness, for all of his cutting of corners, Stugatz doesn't let this seat next to me stay open because he's terrified I'm going to get wandering eyes. He's never late. He's never late. Stugatz is never late. He always shows up and on time is ready to do the show.
On time to you?
He takes my vacation. He takes the vacation the same time I do. He just does not want anyone getting in that seat and sitting in that seat and being able to use that microphone so that anyone notices anything. Like, he just doesn't. He will not let this seat be empty. Right now, he is rushing home, listening to my voice, driving 1,000 miles an hour, telling Abby or Finney to turn the Comrex on because he is speeding home. He doesn't want anybody to climb into his position or take over his spot. I don't think he would dispute that. Otherwise, how would you explain the fact that for all of his laziness, he's always in that seat?
Money.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to be on time. There are any number of things he gets paid for.
On time to you is just making it here in time for the microphones to go on.
But that's all he cares about. He's not. No, I'm not. Look, man. He always looks.
Well, it's just you're painting him as a true professional.
No,
and we should dial it back some.
All right, fine. Fair enough. I'm not painting him as a true professional. I'm painting him as a scared person who doesn't want his seat taken by anybody. The thing that I believe
by
is,
doing the bare minimum.
Yes, the very bare minimum, but always on time. And this is what I believe. I believe that he's smoking heaters in the parking lot a half hour before the show starts, but only walks in here 2 minutes beforehand because he doesn't want anyone to ask him to do anything. So I believe he's here. I don't believe he's so lucky that he times traffic so perfectly that every day he arrives here 2 minutes before we start. I don't believe he's that good at measuring the vagaries and the inconsistencies of traffic.
No, you're absolutely right. I smell him every morning.
I think that he just goes nearby and starts smoking cigarettes until it's time to come in. But it is a marvel to behold that someone who is otherwise that inconsistent about putting forth effort is like a metronome in terms of arriving here to do the job for the appointed hours. The thing that I wanted to play for you, if you did not hear it, Bomani Jones went on with Will Cain. This was an unfortunate way for Will Cain to end his tenure at ESPN, where Will Cain made his last appearance on First Take yesterday. And then on his own show, I guess Bomani called in to ask him a question. Like Bomani said, he wasn't looking for a fight. He was just looking to ask him a question. And what ensued is worth listening to. Let's hear the first clip of Bomani Jones and Will Cain going back and forth on this NASCAR thing.
NASCAR decided that they were going to make these changes, and you had fans who were deciding, no, this is our space to do this, and they ride around the track before the race, and they fly the banner overhead. Like, that is an overt act of racism, and we should applaud NASCAR for the fact that they, for the first time ever, are standing up to those people. Instead, you're going to say that NASCAR failed by investigating what they believe to be a noose in the garage of the black driver? Come on, man.
I'm not saying NASCAR failed because they investigated. I'm saying NASCAR failed because they gave an affirmative statement before the investigation.
Okay,
and the news cycle was
I'm just saying this to you right now. If somebody were to hang a noose around my desk or something that looked like a noose near my desk and you saw it at the office and you came up to me and were like, well, hold on.
I don't think you said it was very plausible.
You brought up. Here, we're like, well, let's hold on. Let's get to the bottom of it. Whoo, baby, me and you going to have a problem. And if you got a problem with that, then I think that you're being unfair to people for that thing is quacking. That thing is flapping. That thing is walking.
No.
Let's hold on.
But it wasn't.
It's a duck. It just so happened this time it wasn't a duck.
Bo, I totally disagree with you about your probabilities you describe as well. The probabilities that a garage door pull tied into a certain knot was a noose versus a looking around with video evidence, NASCAR could have taken its time and gotten this right. And by the way, it wouldn't have taken much time. Video evidence, a quick survey of the landscape, realizing that there are pictures all over the place of showing this thing goes back to October, I don't think NASCAR's assumptions and probabilities were fair at all.
With the evidence that they had before them and what that appeared to be, I don't think that there was really anything wrong with the affirmative statement they put out, because here's the thing, if they don't put out an affirmative statement, what it fairly looks like in that case is that they are trying to downplay this. No, what they saw needed to be treated, I think, with the level of urgency that they pursued it with. No individual has paid any price for this. The only people who seem to be mad about this are people who think that there's something insulting about the idea that maybe, just maybe, after all the history in this country, maybe, just maybe, somebody white did something really ridiculously racist, as though that's some sort of anomalous activity. It's not. And white folks got to live with the fact that you're asking for a benefit of the doubt that is not supported by the historical record.
So Mike Ryan just said to me, Will Cain and Bomani handled this so much better than we did yesterday. There was a great deal of circumstantial evidence around NASCAR that made people jump to a conclusion. And that circumstantial evidence is NASCAR's history. The entire history of the sport is the circumstantial evidence why people jump to a conclusion.
And the country, and specifically Alabama.
I mean, it's a whole lot of events sort of conspired to make it so that perhaps NASCAR, in trying to overcorrect its racist past, probably went too fast in terms of announcing we have to figure this out. But I appreciate the transparency. And everything that happened afterward, I understand why people would object to what it is that happened afterward. The thing that I would say to you about this particular topic is I want you to imagine racism as a miles and miles and miles and miles long forest. This story, true or not, hate crime or not, this story is a little bit of glitter on one of the branches of one of the trees. And the sports media feasted on it. I can't dispute that. The country feasted on it and made NASCAR the primary sports topic in a way that hasn't happened in more than a decade, I don't feel like. And the reason is because those details are so obvious and so overt that anyone can point to them and say, that's wrong, it shouldn't be. I don't understand, and I will never understand, the number of people taking a victory lap because it was proven to not be so, as if that proves anything other than that particular glitter on that particular branch of that particular tree in that once instance might make you feel better about the fact that it's not quite as racist as you thought it was. But keep looking at the forest. There's a whole lot of trees out there. We've got more sound to play for you from this. How are we handling Stugatz's portion of this as he drives home because he can't come in today. We can't have him in here as we are all wearing asbestos suits and getting our temperature checked next door.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show. Hi, everyone. Appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Here's your SportsCenter update. The preseason opening Cowboys-Steelers game at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio on August 6th is being canceled, and the Hall of Fame's August 8th enshrinement ceremony is being postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Jerome Aginla, Marian Hossa, Kevin Lowe, Doug Wilson, Kim St. Pierre, Ken Holland, they have all been inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. I only know two of them.
No, we're laughing. The first part we were laughing at is Roy was laughing at you. Aginla's one you should know. I mean, it's been, you know, he's been in the league for,
as you just stated, he's a Hall of Famer.
He was in the league for a very long time. And, but Chris wasn't even laughing at that. Chris was laughing and was celebrating, really. We're back, sort of, your phlegm, being there 30 seconds in and just sort of derailing everything. That Chris found comfort in your phlegm because it was like, okay, the show sounds a little more like it was supposed to. I can't wait to sink into all the things that happened last segment. Like, I can't, let's hurry up and get through this so that we can sink into all the disasters that happened last
segment.
Yep. And finally, Jerome, you know, there's two eyes in there for some reason. I'm not blaming anyone. Mike blamed someone, by the way. That's $2. And finally, Universal Pictures is looking to reboot the movie Twister and is in negotiations with Top Gun Maverick helmer Joseph Kaczynski to direct. All right. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Billy, does your microphone now work? A functioning microphone.
Hello?
Okay, very good. So now
it's always worked. It doesn't just work and not work. It works.
Okay, but sometimes it doesn't end up on air. Like, I don't know why that happens. Regardless, Mike Ryan is spinning a lot of plates in the other room. Stu Gatz has had to go home, and he is now back in his office, so I expect to hear from Finney soon. I had post-traumatic stress disorder from all those shows we did during the pandemic because whatever audio problems we had last segment were my fault, because when Stu Gatz left, all of a sudden Mike was taking on Stu Gatz's role, and guess how that made things shift? It put me in the position of touching the buttons, and that is never a good idea. You got to keep me away from the buttons. So let's go back to the original sound that was echoey specifically because I touched a button I wasn't supposed to touch. Let's go back to the sound of 80, totally unfair edit at the end. I don't know who edited this, but cutting it off on Will Kane at the end. Chris, you edited this? Like, that's totally unfair what you did to Will Kane there.
I like to end these with a little comedy so it gets us to the next clip. We pick up with the next one right where Will is, so I just thought it was a funny way because Bo talks for like 2 minutes and then Will Kane's like, can I respond on the Will Kane show? I thought that was funny.
I mean, it's the Cowboys' final ride here at ESPN, and you absolutely nuked him with the way you edited that sound, man. I mean, jeez.
Is his nickname the Cowboy? Is he called? I know he loves the Cowboys. Is his nickname?
My nickname for him.
It should be if it's not. Will the Cowboy Kane is absolutely what should be his nickname. So play the sound without the echo now, Mike.
I appreciate you wanting to interact with me today. It's the first time we've ever, I think, not ever, a few times on air interacted. I believe this. I believe there are terrible people in this world. There are racist people in this world. Do I believe they showed up in NASCAR races and flew flags? I do believe that. And I think they always will be. And I think that those people, as you pointed out, will probably always exist, and this evidence is meaningless to them. Their racism is core to who they are. But I believe that human beings out there that can be won over, that are truly persuadable people, who realize that if I look internally and improve my own individual life, don't qualify my virtue by yelling racist at other people, but live a life of action and as a good human being, they can be persuaded. But, and this gets to my outrage now, but if you undercut the truth consistently, this is an example, there are others, and you say, what have you made a big deal? deal about this, Will, on, you know, the other examples, whether or not it's the circle game or a child's tweets who goes on to be a professional athlete. When you make, take a moment like this and you such cavalier disregard for the truth, what you do is you lose those persuadable people who will stop looking inward individually. And that's why, to take this conversation full circle, I believe you do this country a disservice and you take a step backwards.
And if those people can be dissuaded that easily by that one mistake, they're not nearly as persuadable as you're giving them credit for being, which is you.
Or that's how important I think the truth is.
The
or it's just how important
the doubt.
Or it's just important. It just shows how important I believe the truth is.
Well, I mean, the one thing I do think, though, the truth in this is very important. I think there's something to it. What gets frustrating often, like in hearing you talk about this, is somehow you be the only one that's speaking the truth, right? Like, you're the only dude that's, everybody else is falling for it, right? Everybody else is out here on some okey-doke when it comes to this, but you, seeker of truth in this matter, we got the truth now, right? And so I can see, people may have gotten it wrong in a very sensitive time, they put a two and two together that did not happen to be four. But I think that's far more reasonable than you give it credit for being, and you give way more credit to these people who then on the back end will then say, well, I don't care about these things anymore, rather than chastise them for the fact that they never gave a damn in the first place.
All right. I appreciate the interaction. Bomani Jones here on The Will Cain Show. Thank you.
All right, man. Be good.
All right. I simply care about the truth. I think it is fundamental, foundational.
All right. The truth is that slavery is America's greatest sin. It's original sin, and we are continuing to try to recover from it. And many areas of this country are filled with so much desperation that it hasn't been able to be overcome, as a lot of black communities don't have any ownership and you don't have any inheritance that can be passed down, because America's history of original sin continues in a different way with mass incarceration and segregation that you find in redlining and housing districts that are racist. And when you look at Kentucky and find one voting booth for 600,000 people in a disadvantaged area, you find one voting area like that. All of that stuff is our past. It's all tied together. I don't know. I'm actually kind of surprised that so many people think that their people would have rebounded just fine from slavery. Like, that would have rebounded with all of the things that have happened in this country since, whether you're talking about Tulsa or Birmingham. Like, you've got Russell Westbrook embarking on a project now to teach you more about how a black economy was nuked after getting back on its feet than the American school system teaches you. Like, you have to be willfully negligent at best and willfully ignorant at worst to ignore the echoes of America's original sin on this, and how it handcuffs and limits black people in a way that is super desperate, as we, you know, incarcerate them at, what is it? What are the numbers? I think it's kill them 3-1 on black people when you're going per capita, 3-1 at a 3-1 rate. And I believe it's incarcerate them at a 7-1 rate, but I shouldn't say that without actually having looked it up. And I don't probably need to tell you that, that prison is a big business. Like, it's a giant business.
And yeah, so there's a misnomer in this country that your tax-paying dollars, the same police that are pulling you over are the same police that are handling the prison system. No, those are private corporations. They are hired. They are private prison systems. It is a capitalistic venture, and you need people in those jails to keep it as one.
You've got police being paid a lot of money to disproportionately put black people in jail, where the jail is a business. That is the new prison. That is the new, that is what is being marched against in the streets. It's the echoes of the racism on that slavery. And I understand all of you who are saying that's many, many years ago. No black person out there has felt a whip on their back. But there are plenty who have felt a noose on their neck. And you don't have to go back 200 years to find it.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and runs outside, with the proper social distancing precautions, of course, has been a great outlet. So, if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility. And the proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business. Because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at allbirds.com today.
Here's your SportsCenter update.
You sound like you have it.
Oh, well, you knock it off.
I mean, you sound terrible.
I sound fine. What do you mean I sound terrible? I sound great. My voice feels great.
You sound sick.
Listen, you know I'm a hypochondriac, so don't do what you're doing right now, okay? Because, you know, things on my body are starting to hurt.
Wait,
you know,
wait a minute. Stugatz, yeah. You can't – hold on a second. You drove in. You called us. You said that someone in your circle had tested positive. You headed home, and now you sound like crud. I'm not trying to make you a hypochondriac. If you didn't sound like crud, I wouldn't be telling you you sound like crud, but you sound like crud.
All right. I feel like I sound pretty good. I mean, I don't know. Put it on the poll.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does Stugatz sound like crud?
Where was I? Here's your SportsCenter update. Oklahoma State Athletics announced a new diversity council Wednesday amid the fallout from football coach Mike Gundy's decision to wear a T-shirt promoting a far-right news network. Zeke Elliott, who was diagnosed with the coronavirus 10 days ago, said Wednesday that he's back to feeling normal, but has not been cleared by doctors to work out. And finally, doctors in Cambodia recently removed a leech that had entered an elderly man's penis.
Now, wait a minute, Stugatz, that story's amazing, but also you sound terrible. Are you willing to acknowledge that you sound terrible?
I feel like I sound great. I really do. Like, whatever it was, it just came out, just so you know. And finally, doctors in Cambodia recently removed a leech that has entered an elderly man's penis while he was swimming and drank a full pint of blood. The man told doctors that he went swimming in a river earlier that day, leading them to deduce that the parasite had swum up his urethra and into his bladder. Oh, my God. I mean, jeez.
Whew. Isn't there a fish in the Amazon that does that?
The kanduru.
The kanduru fish. And not only does it do that, it does that in the Amazon, and then it has, like, spikes that it releases in order.
Yeah. Do you remember the film Anaconda? I believe this got trapped in Eric Stoltz's throat at one point in the film.
Yep, I believe you're right. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the night.
Mike, can you do me a favor before we get to L. Duncan here? Can you just find for me the specifics? Describe what the kanduru fish does. We'll get it at the end of this interview because it sounded horrific. I remember we went and talked to experts and we were calling people all over the place. Like, wait a minute, what? This fish does what in the Amazon? L. Duncan and Clinton Yates host The Intersection, where sports and social justice meet tonight, ESPN Radio. 8 p.m. Thank you for being on with us. I don't know, has Elle been on the radio show before? Have you been on with us before, Elle?
I've never been on the radio show before, and I feel like I won't be invited back when I say this to Stugatz. I know this sounds oddly specific, but you sort of sound like Kevin Spacey's character in Outbreak, like right before you flatline when you tried to tell a joke.
Thank you,
you don't sound good, dude. You sound bad.
He's not wrong.
You know, I love you, Stu Gott.
It sounds like it. And I'll remind you, you were on the show when Dan was on vacation. So I'll remind you of that.
That's right. I was on the show. Yeah, when you guys came up to Bristol. That's right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I don't blame you for forgetting. It was a forgettable appearance on the show. Not by you. You were great.
That's when I got to hang out and listen to you guys talk about the Masked Singer for 10 minutes.
That was the forgettable part. Yes, the Masked Singer segment we did in the Fantasy Football Studios. Matthew Berry is still upset about it. So is Field Yates, and so is Billy, because Lorenzo botched the entire thing.
Hold on a second, Billy. Hold on a second, L. Billy, what do you have on this? I don't know any of this. Please fill in the story for me here.
Well, as I remember it, since apparently we're all just taking shots at each other, what happened was we saw Elle Duncan the day before, and she was really nice. We're really excited to see her. She seemed to be excited to see us. We're like, hey, come by anytime, right? So she came by, but she came by later than expected, and we had things planned out. And then Matthew Berry appeared, and he just sat in on the show for half an hour for some reason. And then while he wasn't looking, we snuck into his studio and we started playing with his puppets and did the Masked Singer update from his fantasy studio. And then that became a whole headache for, you know, weeks afterwards because we weren't allowed to play with the puppets. And that was
of course. And Chris, is that how you remember it? Is that an accurate appraisal of things before we get to the meat of what it is we're going to be talking about with L. Duncan?
It was the longest of all the Masked Singer segments I feel like we've ever done. And I love that now we're spending this entire segment talking about the last Masked Singer segment that swallowed her last appearance.
You were doing them with puppets in Matthew Berry's office? That's what you were doing?
It was incredible.
It was his studio, and his studio, Dan, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's like a Mr. Rogers set, kind of, and there's all these buttons and things fall down from the ceiling and things pop up and there's smoke and there's lights and bells and whistles. So we were playing with all the bells and whistles, and unfortunately, Elle joined the show, and when she came on, we spent the entire time that she was on in that studio, and we didn't really get to Elle very much, kind of like this segment.
Billy, for Dan to see it, he would have had to go to Bristol, so he's never seen it.
Hold on a second. Elle, can you explain to me what is happening? What is he describing in Matthew Berry's office? What do you mean bells and whistles? What are we talking about? He's exaggerating all of that, right?
No, if I remember right, there was graphics and there was like green screen stuff happening and like a sheet and of course puppets. It was wild. It was certainly wild. I do want to say, Billy, I love you. When he said I showed up later than expected, there wasn't like a time given. It literally was like just come literally anytime. Just come whenever you want to. Anytime between 10 and 1. So I showed up. Yeah. Apparently it was too late.
Yeah. But again, let's just recap here, Al. You were on the show when Dan wasn't here, and you've appeared on Stupidity like 3 times. So, I mean, I've invited you on to all of my platforms. Lebatard, this is his first time, okay?
On the radio. He does give me an HQ look, though, so I do have to give him that. I certainly appreciate that.
Billy, you've got more for L. Duncan here.
Well, no, I feel like Stu Gotts feels like he discovered her, in a sense, right? And she's entered the universe because he invited her on one time.
I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad you did.
But well, he certainly started my singing career by giving me a look on his Christmas album, so I'll always be indebted.
Can you discover her if she doesn't remember you discovering her? Is that a thing? Is that a thing that can actually factually be so? All right, Elle, stay right there, okay? This has been a total chuckle fest. We have totally wasted both your and the audience's time. We're going to come back with you so we could talk more seriously about what it is that you and Clinton Yates are doing tonight. Forgive us for wasting 8 minutes of your time there. We're going to come right back to you, okay?
Got you.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. L. Duncan, nice enough to put up with us for a second segment. She will join us in just a second here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
There's so much from the last segment, though, that I want to explore again. The idea that you're discovering someone who's on SportsCenter. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is the only way Stugatz can discover someone is if they're on SportsCenter. Before we get back to Elle Duncan again, her and Clint Yates are hosting The Intersection, where sports and social justice meet tonight at ESPN Radio at 8 p.m. Also put on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Are you familiar with the detailed dangers of what the kanduru fish can do to you? Because here it is from Animal Planet. This is what the kanduru fish in the Amazon can do to you. Expandable spines is not something you want to hear about that region. Again, this is not why Elle is here, but we're just trying to clean up some things. Elle is doing good work all over ESPN. What are you trying to do tonight? Because a lot of people are talking about this in a lot of different places. It's only been, surprisingly, 1 month since George Floyd was murdered. What are you trying to achieve tonight?
Yeah, it's actually exactly what you brought up, Dan. It's hard to believe it's only been a month, so we're going to sort of tonight revisit what has happened in the last month, some of the progress and change that we've seen that have many people hopeful, but also I hope that we can also expand the conversation to some of the things that Black people continue to ask for and have been asking for that have not been addressed. You know, it's great, these gestures that we're sort of seeing, statues coming down, you know, promises of this and that, corporations and their statements, you know, a lot of people doing a lot of listening right now and a lot of fact-finding missions. But all Black people are really at, you know, Juneteenth becoming a holiday for many organizations, companies, and even in some states it's being floated. But all Black people are really asking for are changes to the criminal justice system, more equitable health care, more equitable education for people of color and for disenfranchised communities. And we have almost no progress there. So you know, we're going to talk about that. We're hoping to talk to, because you know how radio goes. We've got a lot of feelers out right now. We'll see who commits. But we're hoping to talk to the only Black female pit crew member in NASCAR, not about Bubba Wallace, but just about how inclusive NASCAR is attempting to be behind the scenes and have been for some time, despite the fact that it was just a couple of weeks ago that they banned the Confederate flag. So that's sort of where we're at, revisiting where we've come as a nation and where we have to go.
When you say criminal justice system and criminal justice reform, you're going to sink your teeth into something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to just talk about, I think, some of the Clinton Yates is really great at. He wants to do something where we essentially offer the folks that are listening, Black and white, an opportunity to sort of do some curriculum and some continuing education and sort of figure out what it means when people say things like defund the police. We got into that a little bit yesterday on our Undefeated special on ESPN, but talking about, you know, what the 13th Amendment did and what it still means, what happened when you privatize jails, you know, what that looks like and how essentially it's become sort of the modern day slavery, and what we're looking for in terms of, you know, immunity for police officers, the ability to sue them. So, yeah, I mean, you know, look, we're attempting to have these conversations that are, yes, uncomfortable, but also at the same time, we're trying to do a little deeper dive on what some of these things mean. I think right now a lot of people are hearing a lot of terms that they don't fully understand, systemic racism, implicit bias, defunding the police. And so we're just trying to make it a little easier to sort of understand and marinate in. So we'll be getting into a lot of those topics tonight, I anticipate.
You mentioned listening, and there seems to be a little more, or a lot more maybe, appetite for listening at the moment. Have you found a lot of pushback on people being tired already, just a month in on this, at the way that this is sort of overwhelmed ESPN?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think very, and I fully anticipated it. I mean, I think at first it was very, there was a lot of interest and a lot of, you know, I was getting a lot of tweets and text messages and whatnot from the white friends and colleagues and allies who were saying that they're reading and they're doing this and they're doing some self-examinating or some self-examinations and they're introspecting and they're, you know, trying to sort of do some unlearning of things that they didn't realize that they had learned growing up and whatnot. And it all seemed like everyone collectively realized we were sort of facing a reckoning and awakening. And then very quickly it has turned into, okay, like this was fine, a couple of weeks after that, but like, now sports are coming back. So what are you guys talking about? You know, just post our undefeated special last night. I got an email today from a man from, and he hit me with a double whammy, from a Yahoo Mail account and an Android phone, who basically told me that if I don't get back to doing real journalism, I'll be back to fetching Chris Berman's coffee. I don't know Chris Berman well, but he doesn't seem like a coffee guy. He seems like a Coke Zero guy. That's just me.
Well, you're gonna take take it to Maui? Like that guy singing Jimmy Buffett songs on an island very far away. Like, where are you going to take his coffee? Oh my God!
Correct. Nowhere on the mainland.
But is that a vocal minority, Al? Like, you talked recently, and I don't know what the blowback was on this. You talked recently about why you left Boston and how you left employment behind in Boston because of the racism falling on your neck. Is this a loud minority? Is it like what? How does it change? Not that this is scientific, but how has it changed in terms of number of people coming at you that way?
Yeah, I think specifically about Boston, it is a really loud minority. You know, there's always going to be a group of people that no matter who the messenger is, it's always going to be about sort of tearing the messenger down as opposed to listening to the message. But I will say, I've got such an influx of support, not only from Bostonians or people that live there, people of color that lived in Boston who have always felt very hesitant to, you know, share their experiences because of the blowback that they would undoubtedly get. But I've also had, you know, organizations in Boston that have reached out to me privately to say, you know, thank you. And we never did enough asking as to why you were leaving Boston. We sort of just assumed that the timing worked out that you were leaving Nesson to go to ESPN, and who wouldn't do that? I try not to focus as much on, I mean, it's Twitter, right? It's social media. Like that's what people are going to do. The trolls are always the loudest. But I also think that the trolls are your biggest fans. They always somehow know everything that you've said and every platform that you're on. I certainly didn't want it to become this, you know, L. Duncan's on a one-woman mission to destroy Boston. I know Boston to be a place that is filled with incredibly progressive and good people who I feel like now at this time need to sort of take the reputation back of their city. That's truly why I spoke out. You know, it was because we're all having these difficult conversations. And I honestly, it's been cathartic for me. I held on to a lot of this. You know, every time a Boston team wins a sport, I don't know why, but like, there was just this pit in my stomach of like, oh God. And I know why, because I lived there and because I sort of had this, this deep rooted sort of anger towards the city. And so this has been, cathartic for me as well, talking about it, talking with friends that were well aware of why we were leaving Boston even at the time, and just having them say, like, it's time now to take this reputation back. Because, Dan, what's so funny is, you know, my black friends, I would be like, yeah, I'm going on CNN. And they're like, why? I was like, well, to talk about, you know, the racism I faced in Boston. And they would just be like, is that news? Is that like a revelatory thing? So it's very different when you talk to some people who are like, yeah, that's sort of just the reputation. And others seem to find this to be the most intriguing, unbelievable account of someone's experience in Boston that they've ever heard. I don't know.
Elle, thanks for being on with us. Thanks for the work you do. Check her out tonight. Clinton Yates and Elle Duncan will host The Intersection, where sports and social justice meet tonight, ESPN Radio, 8 p.m. Thank you for the time, as always, Elle.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Oklahoma State Athletics announced a new diversity council Wednesday amid the fallout from football coach Mike Gundy's decision to wear a T-shirt promoting a far-right news network. Zeke Elliott, who was diagnosed with the coronavirus 10 days ago, said Wednesday that he is back to feeling normal, but has not been cleared by doctors to work out. And finally, state inspectors found an 80-pound iguana in the freezer of a West Palm Beach pizza parlor. Pizza Mambo was not shut down because the discovery of the reptile. However, it was closed down due to the 27 violations it received, including 10 high-priority offenses, including the 20 rodent droppings and numerous dead roaches. One of those roaches were found in a paper towel dispenser. These days, it's good to be prepared. That includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. And also curbside pickup on any order. Advance Your Auto and Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune to the SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put these on the poll, please. Did you know that an iguana could be, you said 80 pounds, right, Stugatz? That's what you said, 80, an 80-pound iguana?
Yes, an 80-pound iguana.
Yeah. Did you know that iguanas could be 80 pounds? Also, during the ESPN Radio commercials, if you listen to ESPN Radio all day, put this on the poll. Do you feel like you've heard all of Hamilton on ESPN Radio? Yes or no?
They run the same commercial on TV. Everyone knows every song in Hamilton thanks to this commercial.
How much did Disney pay for the rights to Hamilton, the movie? That has to have been reported.
Yeah, this
somewhere.
Was supposed to be a theatrical release, but because of the global pandemic, this is a Disney Plus exclusive. I don't really know. Lin-Manuel Miranda has a great working relationship with Disney. I think he signed some sort of development deal because all of his projects seem to be going under this umbrella. And considering how hot of a commodity he was, I'm going to say a lot of money, Dan.
Yes,
I feel comfortable saying that.
Well, I'm sure it's been reported, though. I'd be curious what it takes to make Hamilton go from what it was on Broadway, where a lot of people made it the hottest ticket in America for many years.
Dude, I'm so excited for this because I've never seen the musical on Broadway. I didn't know the right people. I couldn't get in there. So this is my first time actually seeing it. I haven't seen it when it toured. It's the original cast, so they know this play, obviously, like the back of their hands. And it's just flawless. And from what I heard from a Lin-Manuel Miranda interview on Good Morning America, cinematically, it's actually going to deliver. This isn't just like one set camera from the audience perspective.
It looks like Disney paid $75 million for it.
Put it on the poll as well. Do you know well the back of your hand? I've never understood that expression. Do you know the back of your hand well? Do you feel like you can describe it pretty well without looking at it? David Sampson, Stugatz, on the local hour today. Mike Ryan has been doing a fun thing on the local hour where he probes Amin El-Hassan and Dave Sampson, the former Marlins president, for like just a bunch of background details that nobody knows about teams that they may have cared about, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And David Sampson tells a number of funny stories in this latest local hour, but one of them is just how little Jack McKeon knew about anything when he accepted at a deli the job to be Marlins manager and ended up winning a championship. He goes into the deli prepared for his interview. Others come in with binders and all sorts of research. And basically what you had with McKeon is he just sort of walks in and calls the owner, Jeffrey Loria, Jerry, the entire breakfast.
Trader Jack.
the entire breakfast. Stugatz, there was something else I heard during the ESPN radio commercials, and I don't know who said it. But whoever said it has it exactly right when they say this whole thing feels like a Jenga tower. This whole thing about sports returning, like the whole thing feels like, wait a minute, there is a point, right, where one of us is just going to pull out a Jenga piece and the whole thing's going to fall down again because our numbers are horrific. Like South Florida, Stugatz, South Florida, you're doing the show from home today because someone in your circle tested positive and we want to be careful. South Florida, I believe in the last week has more cases than South Korea has had, period.
Yeah, the stat I saw was in the last 4 days, more new cases than the entire country of South Korea in the last 4 months.
That's why Mike Ryan is saying we all got it.
Yeah.
And put that on the poll as well, Guillermo. Does this whole thing feel like a Jenga tower?
But what's the Jenga piece that if pulled out, the entire thing collapses? Is it LeBron James? Like, what's it going to take for the entire thing
to
collapse?
Wait, you have baseball collapsing because LeBron James tests positive?
If LeBron tests positive in that bubble, I have everything collapsing. So, yes, to answer your question.
But testing positive, look, there are two different kinds of things happening here because testing positive is not the same as, you know, being infected in a way, perhaps necessarily, if you're asymptomatic, that is, you know, that means you've got a sickness. It can just mean that you're, you've tested positive for the virus and nothing else happens other than you cannot be around others. And what's going to happen here is that results are going to get super distorted if the rates continue the way they're going, where, you know, every couple of days you're hearing about guys like Ezekiel Elliott testing positive. They canceled the Hall of Fame game. That's like 45 days right. away, and they've already canceled
right.
that.
There's asymptomatic transmission, and you have to act as if you have it, and you can't be too cocky that your asymptomatic version of the virus isn't going to harm someone that has a weakened immune system or prior medical history or is elderly. And yesterday we were saying, man, it's getting to the point now where Jokic has it. Good. He has it well before this tournament. Jokic is good. Well, not so much. At the WWE Performance Center, they are having an absolute outbreak. And one of the talents came forward and says, I just got it for a second time. I thought I was in the clear. I was acting reckless. I tested positive a second time after having it just a few months ago.
Would you blame the athletes? Would you blame NBA players for not wanting to come, not playing in the bubble or playing the playoffs, but not wanting to do it in Florida based on the numbers we're seeing on a daily basis? Why would they want to come here?
No, I wouldn't blame them. You would.
Right.
That's your thing.
I would, after the fact, yeah.
That's your,
I'd like to see if you would do it first, and then if you wouldn't, then I'll do it. Yeah, that's how we do it.
If any of your teams were relevant and playing for something, and one of the key players said, I'm sitting this out, I would love to see what your real-time reaction would be to that. Because I'm genuinely confused. We ended the first hour here. Mike, where do you think Stugatz should land on this Jamal Adams thing? Because Adam Gase is now his boy, but Jamal Adams is their best player. And Adam Gase, the job, Stugatz, the job, you got to figure out a way to get, you know, to fit with your best players.
In fairness to Jamal, I would like to hear the specific reasons as to why he doesn't like Adam Gase. I don't want to be flippant about it because I don't know the interactions that he and Adam Gase have had. All I am saying, Dan, is that there is no – you're a free safety. You're a good free safety, but you're a free safety. No one has ever given a free safety the credit for a team winning a Super Bowl. Dan, a football team is like an ice cream sundae, okay? You have the ice cream, which is the main part. That's the quarterback, okay? And then you have, you know, you have some good things. You have like some sprinkles, wide receivers. You have a defensive end who could be some hot fudge. Like you have all these elements. Having a safety, a free safety, is like the cherry on top. It's like a bonus. Like no one gave Ronnie Lott the credit for winning a Super Bowl. It was Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and Roger Craig. No one gave Jack Tatum credit for the Raiders winning any sort of Super Bowl. No one's ever given the safety any credit for anything. You either have a good safety and it's the cherry on top or you don't. But safeties don't win you Super Bowls. And I am tired of Jamal Adams. That is it. You don't want to be here. Don't be here. We'll be just as bad without you as we were with you.
Earl Thomas would like a word. Ed Reed would like a word.
Bob.
Yeah, no one gave Earl Thomas the credit for the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl, and no one gave Ed Reed credit. They gave the defense credit, but not Ed Reed
all right,
specifically.
Well, if you must ask for a specific example of a safety, Bob Sanders on the Colts that won the Super Bowl, they had the 32nd ranked rush defense headed into the playoffs before he got healthy, and no team had ever won the Super Bowl with that bad of a rush defense, and Bob Sanders came in and altered their run defense.
And after the game, were we celebrating, oh, Bob Sanders finally got the coveted ring, or was it Peyton Manning?
This is why it's the great move by you, though. After the game, was I concentrating on the thing that mattered, or was I just giving credit to Peyton Manning because all I do is give credit to the quarterbacks? Yeah, I was the one giving credit to Peyton Manning for beating Rex Grossman, even though he didn't even play well in that Super Bowl.
All I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
Put it on the poll. Does Bob Sanders deserve more credit than Peyton Manning for winning that goal?
That is blasphemy. Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Vince Carter has announced his retirement. ACC Commissioner John Swofford has announced that he will retire in 2021. There you go, Dan Swofford. And finally, Oklahoma's official state vegetable is the watermelon. Watermelons are fruits. Barbasol shaving cream is available in 5 fantastic flavors to customize your close shave, whether it's the classic original or sensitive skin. There's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
This story from Business Week, we'll get to Stan Van Gundy in a second, is one of the reasons, and I believe it was pretty high up on the list, that LeBron James ended up choosing Los Angeles instead of any place else. News story, LeBron James is building a new media company that aims to give a voice to black creators and consumers who have been pandered to, ignored, or underserved, and he just got a $100 million investment to build a media empire out there. So he is going to take the lead with some action on giving some power. He's always empowered his friends in a way that has been admirable, and now he's going to empower his community.
I need to make an on-air correction because Stugatz, as you know, is a lifelong Jets fan, apparently doesn't even know what position Jamal Adams plays because he's a strong safety.
Oh, because he just kept saying free safety over and over again?
He's a safety.
Okay, thank you. So Stan Van Gundy with us now. He's on your team and your best players, Stugatz. I feel like
He wants to get off of my team. He's only had to endure it for 2 or 3 seasons. I've had to endure it for 45 years. I mean, give me a break.
All right. So Stan Van Gundy is on with us on ESPN Radio. I haven't talked to Stan about any of the things really that are going on in America here recently. So let's start with the latest shiny object. What happened with NASCAR? What do you do? How did you experience all of that?
Well, I wasn't surprised when I first heard the story that, you know, there would be a racist incident in NASCAR. I mean, you know, it's a sport whose fans, I would say, if we did, you know, a demographic study of all sports fans in the United States, NASCARs would probably hold the most racist attitude. So it wasn't surprising. It's virtually an all-white sport for the participants. They have one driver in their, you know, highest series. So I wasn't surprised. It turned out, I guess, to not have been something that happened, or at least nothing that happened, recently. So, you know, but the racism still to me is a story. Look, they got rid of Confederate flags and they had protests against them for banning Confederate flags. I mean, I think that tells you all you need to know about their fan base.
What do you make of Jerry Jones's silence at this time, Stan? We're not hearing from a whole lot of owners in their own words.
No, we're not at all. I think the NBA owners have been fairly supportive. Look, I mean, I think I read something the other day where 7 NFL owners made $1 million donations to Trump's inaugural campaign. And so I think that gives you an idea of where at least several NFL owners stand politically. And I think most of the people who take those stances politically are worried more about the protests and the protestors than they are about what they're protesting. And so the fact that we haven't heard from Jerry Jones or any other specific owner, I don't think number one should be especially surprising. You know, look, I mean, the other thing is all of these owners, I think, don't want to offend any of their fans. And so they're not going to say anything one way or another. I mean, they want every single patron, you know, coming through the turnstiles whenever we open back up, and they want everybody turning on the TV and watching them. So expecting that we're going to get courage in the area of social justice from sports teams owners, I think is delusional.
Stan, if you were still coaching, would you be comfortable coming to this state and playing in that bubble?
I'd probably do it. You know, I mean, it's just sort of, I guess, the way we're conditioned in sports. But I will tell you that I have concerns about the whole thing, and I know they're shared by a lot of people. And I have a specific concern for the coaches because, you know, some of those guys are a little older. Some of them have had health concerns. And we've seen, you know, with college football and the tennis tournament with Djokovic and a women's soccer team here in Orlando that, you know, it's been perilous when you bring groups together in close proximity, and the coaches are going to be, you know, sitting in huddles with guys who are going to be breathing hard and everything else. Yeah, I'm very concerned about them, and I'd probably be a little scared if I was the one having to do it.
He's an analyst for TNT and NBA TV, our friend Stan Van Gundy with us on ESPN Radio. What did you make of what a mess baseball made, as it always does, before finally getting back to work or deciding that they had parameters to get back to work?
Yeah, I didn't get it. I mean, for what the owners ended up getting out of this, which is fewer games because they've calculated, obviously, that they're going to lose money. So for whatever they saved in playing 10 to 14 fewer games and everything, the long-term damage, not only to the sport, but to their relationship with their players. I think, you know, the NFL's different, right? Because they've had their players under their thumb for so long and have by far, from the owner's standpoint, by far the best position. But for the other sports, you know, they should look at what Adam Silver's done. I mean, he really has created an atmosphere of partnership with the players. And ultimately, that's the only way you're going to thrive as a league in those collective bargaining agreements. I think the baseball owners would love to have what the NFL owners have, but the baseball players have done a better job than anybody, even including the NBA players, of protecting their own interests, and now you've just alienated them. Their next collective bargaining agreement, which is coming up in a year, is going to be contentious, to say the very least.
So you think, as basketball returns or tries to return, Stan, you're looking at this and you're thinking to yourself, as someone who strategized and planned this, how the hell do you prepare for playoff games with this? Like, what are the practical difficulties of that?
Well, I don't think that those preparations will really be any different. I mean, I will, you know, you're going to have no distractions, basically, to the players, and you're going to have plenty of time as a coach, uninterrupted time. You're not going to have to spend as much time on other things, and you're going to be able to, you know, basically sit in your hotel room and plan that out. So I don't think the preparation part is going to be the problem. I think the problem is going to be the off-court part. I mean, I just think these guys, coaches also, but especially the players, are going to be bored out of their minds and be very unhappy after a little while there. I mean, I know that the NBA has tried to do everything they can in setting this up so that there's things for them to do and everything else. But we're talking about the teams who go to the finals having 3 months of, you know, not living with their families. Even if they're able to come into some games and stuff, they're not going to be in the bubble. I mean, they're going to have 3 months without family, without friends outside of their teammates, without activities. It is set up to be a lifestyle and mental health disaster. But they're going to sign on to it because, look, I mean, they want and need the money, and so do the owners, and so do the TV networks. And so they've decided we're going to try to play, and we're going to try to do the best job possible we can of keeping people safe. And I think what they're doing is the only way to do it. And if they can't, if the NBA can't pull it off with all the thought that they've put into this, then I don't know how we play sports in this country until we have a vaccine or effective treatments, because the NBA is doing everything possible. They're taking every precaution. If they can't do it, it can't be done.
Stan, stay there for a second. We've got a number of questions to ask you, including whether or not you pee in the shower. Stan Van Gundy will continue with us next here.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Fiat Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Stan Van Gundy going to join us again here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour, and our Best of Podcast on Demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
So Stan Van Gundy continues with us. He's an analyst for TNT and NBA TV. Thank you, Stan, for staying with us through another segment. Given that injuries are going to be more likely, given that we have no earthly idea how many guys are going to test positive, do you believe that we have a greater chance for a distorted champion in the NBA than we've ever had?
No question. And then add to that, I mean, the unpredictability of the injuries and the virus add to that there's no home court advantage. So, some people always, some people want to discount that, the home court advantage part. I hear it every year, oh, home court advantage, not a big deal. Well, you know, go back and look at the history. It's a huge deal, and that's all eliminated. And so, I think that makes whatever happens in the playoffs very unpredictable, and certainly greater chance for upsets.
What did you make of, for example, Wizards forward Davis Bertans deciding to sit out Orlando's restart and Evan Fournier hitting him with the following? This is what's wrong with the NBA nowadays, man. Seriously, though, if you think it's okay to sit and watch your teammates play while you're perfectly healthy, it says a lot about you.
Yeah, look, I didn't have a problem with any player deciding to opt out for whatever reason. I mean, it's a distorted season. The health risks are real. I just don't think anybody should be criticized for that. Look, they're giving up their money for that, so it will cost Davis Bertans some money. And whether he decided that based on, you know, his free agent status or because of his health concerns, I don't think that really matters. It's totally up to him, and I don't think other players should criticize him. I don't think anybody should criticize them for playing. I mean, everybody's got to make an individual decision here in a very difficult time.
If you were coaching in Disney World, what would be the ride most likely to tempt Stan Van Gundy to being on it? Because I have it as the teacups. I think that you're going to be you're going to be a guy on the teacups. What do you have it as, Stan, the ride you're most likely to go on?
No, I'm with Stu Gatz. The teacups are absolutely terrifying. I get motion sickness anyway. The teacups, to me, were the one no-go. I'll go on the roller coasters and all of that. I'm not getting on the teacups. I come out of that, I got to head straight to a toilet and throw up. There's not a chance.
Yep.
My niece, Jeff's daughter, youngest daughter, used to come here a lot to go to Disney World. And I mean, every year. And occasionally I'd go with her. And, you know, I would always kid her. My two favorite rides were It's a Small World and the General Electric Carousel of Progress. I could never bring her around to either one of those. But, I'm sticking with them.
Hold on. Put it on the poll, please, because I believe for people of a certain age, that General Electric Carousel of Progress simply cannot be popular anymore. It can't be. Is it still there? That thing cannot be. It's still there. The Carousel of Progress is still there. Chris,
and it stopped. That's the problem. It's like progress just stopped. Like we only went to a certain point, and we didn't add to the ride like progress. And so what they were projecting as the future has already happened. And we don't have the present or the future. So it is a little bit strange of a ride now.
I was on it back in January, I believe. It is still good. Sing it with me now. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the
end of every day.
Absolutely.
It's almost as good as It's a Small World after all.
It's a small world after all.
How can you not love those two rides? I mean, I my niece and I argue all the time, and I don't understand how she could not embrace those two outstanding attractions.
Does Stan Van Gundy pee in the shower?
Okay, listen, I heard you guys talking about this. I'm gonna take the fifth on that, but I will just say this. Just because you do it doesn't make it acceptable. You know, I mean, like, we all do things at times that we have to know are not acceptable in any way, and that is certainly not acceptable.
Wow. Okay. Your no comment was damning and incriminating. Stu Gatz has been wanting to ask you a question for about 8 months. He's actually been peppering me with the question. He has been asking me, go ahead, Stu Gatz, you ask Stan Van Gundy this question because I don't know the answer to it.
We're just wondering, Stan, we were all excited thinking we would see you at Dan's wedding and you were a no show. And so we're wondering, what happened? Why did Stan Van Gundy not show up to the Dan Le Batard wedding?
Actually, I had months in advance, even well before I got anything on Dan's wedding, I had committed to doing a clinic for USA Basketball, so I was not in town that weekend.
I am heartbroken right now. Jesus. Love lost to a clinic.
Convenient.
Do you know how sad that is? It makes me sad. Love lost to a clinic. I would have vigorously.
Yeah, well, but the other concern I had is that I wasn't going to be seated at the table with your whole crew there on Le Batard and Friends, and I would have been off in some lonely table in the corner not knowing anybody. So if you would have told me ahead of time that I could have sat with your whole crew there, then I probably would have changed my plan.
Jesus. Okay. Get out of here, Shower Pier. Get out of here. We're done with you. Thank you for being on the show with us. Stan Van Gundy, pees in the shower. He didn't say it, but he did say it. See you later, Stan. Good talking to you.
All right. Bye.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.